I ask that you speak to all of us today about what it is to live a Christ-centered life and what that means for us as a church, especially today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the buzzwords of the church is that we are called to live a Christ-centered life, and it's usually said in contrast to a self-centered life. I think that most of the time we never think about the words that we use or the ideas behind them. What does it mean to be self-centered? What does it mean to be Christ-centered? The Apostle Paul wrote to the churches, he talked about the centrality of Christ in the lives of the followers of Jesus. What do we mean by living a Christ-centered life? Well, let's look at the words that make up the word self-centered and Christ-centered. There's three words: self, Christ, and center are the key words. First, what does the word center mean? Some of the definitions of center are these: a point, area, or person, or thing that is most important and determining to certain activities, interests, conditions, and situations. Thank you, Webster. Such as the player occupying a middle position on the team, the center on a football team, who starts the action of the play by passing the ball between his legs to one of the backs, usually the quarterback. Or the player on a basketball team around whom plays seem to pivot. He's called the center. So a center person is a person who holds a central position in an organization. That person is the one who gets things started. The center is the point around which things move. It is the most important thing. The center of something keeps everything else in perspective and balance. With this in mind, it tells us a great deal about the magazine known as Playboy. The center of that magazine is a centerfold, a nude woman with staples across her middle. The centerfold tells us what is the purpose, direction, and what is important to the people who produce the magazine and the people who buy it. The centerfold tells us what is important, what takes priority, and what sells the magazine and gives it worth. So anybody who tells you they buy the magazine for the article, stories, or whatever is either self-deceived or a liar, because we know what is the center of the magazine and those who are attracted to it. It is a girly magazine. It is nude-centered and, most more appropriately, female nude-centered. So with this in mind, a person who is self-centered is a person who is concerned mainly with their own desires, needs, or interests. And a person who is Christ-centered is someone who is mainly concerned with the desires, needs, or interests of the Christ who is Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be Christ-centered instead of self-centered. So if you want to know if you are Christ-centered or self-centered, ask yourself the question: am I mainly concerned with my desires, needs, and interests? Or do I always seek to follow Jesus and carry out His desires, needs, and interests in the world? Now, I expect, if you're honest, you're going to fall much more on the side of self-centered than Christ-centered. Now, we could all go home if I would just stop right here and say, strive to be more Christ-centered each day, but since the Bears don't play till 3:15, I'm not going to stop here. It isn't really that simple. If it were just that simple, we could go home, but it isn't that simple. We aren't all self-centered either. Self may be important, but some of us live for something or someone, and we derive our identity from this thing or person as well. Self isn't always at the center of our lives. Let me give you an example. There probably is a mother or mothers here. And the truth is, you aren't Christ-centered, you aren't even self-centered, but you are children-centered. That is, your life revolves around your children. You feel secure in your family, your position, your children, and your feelings of self-worth are based upon your children's well-being or the feelings they have towards you. You make decisions on what is good for the children or what they want. You interpret your life in terms of your children, and your actions are pretty much limited as they revolve around those kids. You are not Christ-centered, or really even self-centered. You are family-centered, or child-centered, or children-centered. Instead of living for Jesus or even yourself, your kids come before Jesus and yourself. Let me give you another example. You guys, mainly, but not always. You guys aren't Christ-centered or even self-centered, but you might be work-centered. There are some of us who define ourselves by our occupational roles, and we only feel comfortable when we are working. You make your decisions based on the needs and the expectations of your work. You see your life as your work. Therefore, your actions are limited as they revolve around your center, your work, and you are limited by the boss's perception, occupational relationship ties, and even the possible future inability to do the work. Work comes before Jesus or even ourselves. You see, the picture gets more complicated than just the decision to follow Jesus or do what you want. It isn't just a question of Christ-centered living versus self-centered living. It is a matter of what is at the center of your life. So let me ask you, what is at the center of your life? What should be at the center of your life? Now today, I just want to raise up this question to you because we need to either discover what is at the center of our lives and or possibly decide what is going to be at the center of our lives. In order to determine what is at the center of your life, you need to ask yourself what you want to be and do with your life from this point on. It also requires us to understand that what is at the center of our lives gives us identity and purpose along with direction and balance for life. This is personal because each of us is unique, and what is at the center of our lives will reflect that uniqueness in content and form. That was at the center of your life is kind of like your own personal constitution. You know, the United States has a constitution. That's our center, and it is fundamentally changeless. There's the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the amendments that go along with the Constitution. That is the standard by which we are governed. It is the document that the president agrees to defend and support. It is the criterion by which people become citizens in this country. It is the foundation and center that gives us the strength to survive major trauma like the Civil War or Vietnam or World War I and II or the Clinton tryst in the White House back in the 90s or 9/11. Or illegal aliens at this point. It is the written standard by which everything is evaluated and directed. It endures because we hold these truths to be self-evident. It is our center, and it gives us a timeless strength in the midst of unclear times and poor leadership. Now, this is my opinion, which is what we have right now. Or when we have strong leadership. It is the center and foundation of this country. Now, that is a collective picture of a group of people centered on certain principles. Now, let me give you another example. Back in about 1998 or 99, we did a study and we developed a mission statement for this church. You have that mission statement in your bulletin, whether you know it or not. It is right above at the first page on the top. And I want you to read it with me. It's right above our name. Here we go. To know Jesus as Savior and Lord and to make Him known. To know Jesus as Savior and Lord and make Him known. It's out there in the atrium on the wall. That is the center of this church. What is our center? Our center is Jesus Christ. Our center is to know Jesus as Savior who brings us forgiveness, and to know Jesus as Lord, and in that process to reach out and relate, witness, proclaim, and invite others to receive Jesus as Savior and make Him Lord of their life. As a church, we encourage, exhort, teach, witness to one another to make Jesus our personal center as well. Now, you may say, well, isn't that obvious, Jack, that Jesus is our center? Aren't all churches Christ-centered? I personally don't think it's as obvious at all. In fact, I think most churches are not Christ-centered, even though they talk about it. I'm not too sure we're always Christ-centered as a church. You see, I've come to realize churches are kind of like people. They put all kinds of things at the center of their lives instead of Jesus. They can put money at the center of their life, or the pastor, or the worship, or the youth, or the senior citizens, or a building, or certain families can take precedence and become center. And a host of other things can be the center of their lives instead of Jesus. So today I want to raise up to you that we are constantly focusing and refocusing on our mission, our center, who is Jesus Christ. At the beginning of this year, I said I want to focus on keeping the main thing this year. Our most basic understanding of who we are as a church is that we are a Christ-centered church. So let's take a moment in Scripture and look at the founder of the foundation of who we are. Read with me Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. Here we go. Now when Jesus came in the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, in that scripture right there, we see the answer to several things. The church universal belongs to Jesus. He created it. He birthed it. The church belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. This is not your church or my church. This is Jesus' church. He's the center. Jesus founded the church. You'll notice also in this scripture that the church is built upon a profession of faith. Peter proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that may seem obvious and simple, but it isn't. You can't be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ Universal until you make that profession of faith. You can't be a member of this church, which is part of the Church Universal, without that profession of faith. When I was down in Kentucky, there was a couple that came from New England that moved into the town, and they started coming to church. And they indicated they wanted to join the church. So I went and I talked to them. And if you've joined this church since I've been here, then you know that there are three questions that we ask. One, the first one is, do you still see yourself as a sinner in the sight of God? That's the first question. They could answer yes to that question. I said, well, the second question, do you still believe that Jesus is your Savior and will be Lord of your life? And they couldn't do it. I had to tell them, I said, you can't be a member of the church. That's a tough thing to do, let me tell you. But I told them, I said, that's implicit in the faith, and it's implicit in terms of who we are as a church. It was a tough thing to do, but I did it. Now, not all, by the way, they did join the Episcopal Church. But not all churches require this. But we do. We proclaim and strive to be a Christ-centered church. We have a mission statement based upon the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and our mission is to know Jesus as our personal Savior and make Him Lord over our lives. Now, I know we have a number of people who visit with us. If you want to know what we're about as a church, we have this mission with Christ at the center. Now, over the past few years, we as a church have gone through some pretty extreme changes. People can't live with change if there's no changeless core inside of them. The key to the ability to change is a changeless sense of who you are, what you're about, and what your purpose is. I believe we are able to change because we were guided by our changeless center, Jesus. Those that can't change, they get burned up by change, have nothing at their center that is eternal in nature and changeless. Their center is based on something in this world. Now, you have on the front of your bulletin this picture, and we're going to have it up here. This is the Helix Nebula. I've put the Eye of God. This doesn't stand for the intensive care unit at the hospital. It's I see you. Anyway, it looks like an eye, and you know, that's how we see life, is through our eyes. If you look at this, it's changing. It looks like the diagram that you have in your bulletin. Now, this is a diagram that could be our church or any church for that matter. And I'm sure that there are a lot of other things that I could have put in that circle around the center, but I stopped at what I have up there, so it will serve as an adequate example. The truth is, when it comes to our church or any church, whatever is at the center of our life will be the source of our identity, direction, balance, and purpose. Now, I got those four arrows going out from me. Our identity is that which gives us a sense of worth, self-esteem, basic personal strength, or lack of it. Direction has to do with how you look at life and is the eye through which you make decisions and actions on a day-to-day basis. Balance is your perspective on life and your understanding of how various groups and their causes relate to each other. It embraces judgment, discernment, and is your understanding of the big picture, balance. Purpose is the capacity to act. It gives the strength and energy to move in certain directions to accomplish something. Now, if you look at this diagram, which is a church, if Jesus is at the center, the founder of the church, you will have Jesus giving the church its identity as a whole and also each individual and group. Jesus will give us eyes to look at life through His eyes, to make decisions, take actions on a day-to-day basis, both individually and collectively as His church. With Jesus at the center, all the important groups and individuals and causes will be balanced as they relate to each other. It will give the church the ability to make the proper decisions based on discernment and understanding of the big picture as Jesus gives us that picture. With Jesus at the center, we also get our purpose and capacity to act. The strength and energy comes from the commission to go into all the world and also the promise that we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit's energy and strength. Now let me look at this one more time. Our identity, leave it up there. Don't take it off. How can I look at it? Our identity is our security. Unlike other centers which are subject to frequent and sometimes frightening kind of changes, Jesus does not change. We can depend on him. We are his people. We are his church. No matter what else happens, Jesus doesn't get mad and treat us differently. Jesus won't leave us, and he isn't out to get us. He doesn't treat us differently because of behavior, environment, or current fad. He doesn't die. He isn't here one day and gone the next. He can't be destroyed by fire, earthquake, or theft. He is our security and gives us our identity. Now, if you move Jesus out of the center and you move any of those things into the center instead of Jesus, persons, groups, or things, the whole picture changes in terms of identity and security. Move the pastor in there. Pastors come and go. Members, visitors, they come and go. Buildings are changed. We went through that. Special music, worship, that can change over time. Sometimes the money is there and sometimes it isn't. When money becomes the center of a church, people get devalued, not to mention Jesus. Then it's all about the money, because you got to get the stuff done. If any of these are at the center instead of Jesus, our identity can be blown by the wind of the times or the group or whatever. Balance and direction comes from having the correct maps. The Bible speaks of God's work and ways. It shows us the founder and the center of the church. The Bible is the correct map that tells us the way things really are and have been and will be. We build a life around this map, which Jesus gives us. The correct map and data keeps everything balanced and moving in the right direction, because you know as well as I do that the winds of adversity and the winds of change and the winds of opinion come and go in terms of this life. If we get our balance and our direction exclusively from a pastor like me, or maybe youth workers, or it's all about the building, or it might be about special interest groups, we will put those people or attitudes at the center of who we are as a church, and then we get moved by human thinking instead of divine direction. Purpose comes from Christ-centered living as a church. It gives us the power, energy, and strength to move and do things. Purpose allows us to be unrestricted by attitudes, behaviors, and actions of some of our people and people outside our church. It also allows us to act in spite of circumstance and environmental influences that can limit other churches. A Christ-centered church or a Christ-centered person is only limited by Christ himself and God's order in the world. We are free to choose our actions, but along with the actions are the consequences of those actions. Living in God's world and according to God's ways have natural consequences to them. There are positive consequences and there are negative consequences. The wind of the world can blow us in all kinds of different directions or speak against us. So there can be negative consequences to be a Christ-centered church or a Christ-centered person. Jesus might have said it, but it isn't recorded in the Bible, so I will say it for him. If you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other. There are consequences to things. Now, I hope that I've begun to make you aware of how our center as a church affects us. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at our individual centers as opposed to having Jesus as our center. Anyway, your day, whatever is at the center of your life affects your motivations, your daily decisions, your actions, and your interpretation of events and circumstances. That's why it's important to not only understand what is at your center, but to also change your center if led by the Spirit of God, because that's your lens. Just like the cover here, it's the way we see the world. Christ-centered living is hard, folks. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It is hard. And we are called to be Christ-centered if we name Jesus as our Savior and Lord. It is hard to do that as a church. And it is hard to do that as an individual. There are so many alternative centers. You can call them idols if you want to, idols of the heart, besides Jesus. That's why our mission as a church is so important. To know Jesus as Savior and Lord and make Him known, keep Him at the center of who we are. Part of what I do is my job is up here, like I said at the beginning of this year, keep the main thing, because there's all kinds of distractions out there in terms of our lives. So my job is to try and lead you to take this mission as your personal mission, to say within your own heart, with your own mind, and your own mouth, my mission in life is to know Jesus as my personal Savior and all that that means, to know Him as Lord of my life and all that that means as well, and also to make Him known to others, make Him the center. Christ-centered living is hard, but there is one man who voiced what it means to be Christ-centered. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. I have chapter 2, verse 20 printed, and let's read it together. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is a statement of faith of anyone who lives with Christ at the center of their life. May it be so with us as a church and with you and me as individuals. Let's pray. Lord, help us to keep our focus right in terms of how we live our lives so that we can balance all those things that we have to deal with daily, all the attitudes and circumstances that come our way. Help us to keep you at the center so that we have balance in our direction and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.